What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 399. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, we get a little kickback from that. If you make a purchase after that, doesn't cost you anything, but helps us keep the show going. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, you know, it's Wednesday.
It's Podcast Wednesday.
No, that URL, which is up on the screen, bookmark that. So then anytime you go to Amazon, you make a purchase, it helps us out. We definitely appreciate that. We have Corey in the chat already in the live chat. And we have Jose Carlos in the live chat as well from Panama.
All right.
So good to see you guys in the live chat here. I wanted to ask you, did you survive the Facebook outage this week?
I did, and I freaked out a little bit because I don't remember what like triggered it, but I think it was on my phone or somewhere. It was like your session is like timed out, and I was like, well, that's weird. That's never happened.
Usually when you're like when you get something like that, it's like, oh, somebody got into my account.
That's what I went right to. I was like, all right, I'm changing passwords. Like I immediately went to changing all my credentials and everything.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't go through. And I was like, what the hell? Like I'm getting the email, right? Like to reset my password. But it just wouldn't go through. And I was like, oh, what is going on? And then I finally went like on social media and, you know, like Twitter or something. And it was like, okay, things are down. I feel much better. So.
Yeah. Corey asked, why did Facebook go down? I honestly don't know. I just knew it was down.
Not just Facebook. It was Meta.
Yeah. It was like all Meta
in general
platforms. So it was Facebook. It was
Instagram. Instagram would kind of pull up for me.
Yeah, but it was something, probably some data center issue, I assume. But it was so funny because X or Twitter was up and everybody was like, there's 5,400 engineers at Facebook and it's down. And there's 183 engineers at X. And, and it was so funny. The main person for Meta went on to X to say that they were aware of the issue. It's like kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but it is always weird when those things that it's like a daily thing, like people, they're checking Instagram, they're checking Facebook on a daily basis. And you just, you expect it to be up. And then you, like you said, you try to log in. You're like, what do I do? Somebody's like, it's good. You go outside, play with your kids. Like,
no, I'll just open a different app.
Yeah.
And scroll down. It's these sites and everything are so complex. You would think, right? Like, oh, they've got all this money and all these resources and they should never go down, but they're so complex that like, and all the like integrations.
A lot of them use the same type of data center providers too. So if, you know, like if something big goes down, say, you know, maybe it's Facebook, YouTube, it's a lot of services. I remember it was like maybe like 6 months ago, like a lot of services went down at once because it was, I might have been like an AWS or something that caused a lot of sites to go down. So yeah, you always wonder, you know, like it just makes you realize, okay, these things aren't like always foolproof. I just try to bring up our website and I got a error, so that's not good. So we'll see if it happens throughout the podcast. Yeah. I hope not. But if you guys do want to follow along, if the website should be running, we have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. You can go ahead and click through and get more information on everything. If you want to click through with us as you're listening live, or of course, if you're listening later, or if you hear something in the podcast and you're like, whoa, what were they talking about? What was that product? I want to see more or learn more. We have everything linked that we're going to be talking about this week. And we're going to start with our one review. Well, no, we did two reviews. I didn't put it in the show.
I only saw one review listed there, but yeah, I think you had two.
Yeah, right. we'll start with the one that I forgot about, I guess, which was a mouse, which I...
Which you couldn't show us last week. You showed the very back.
Yeah, I showed the tip. That doesn't sound right. I showed a little bit of the mouse, but I couldn't really show it. Yeah. It's the Corsair M75 wireless. So at the end of last year, Corsair came out with the M75 Air, which was their very ultralight gaming mouse. I believe that was like 60 grams. So very super light,
obviously designed mainly for FPS games. And now they've come out with the M75 wireless, which adds more buttons, better battery life. It adds RGB. It's sort of like a nice mixture between ultralight and a more standard or heavier mouse. So it's weighing in at 89 grams. It's a good, very good and comfortable mouse, which I actually really like. And it's ambidextrous as well. And it's like actually fully ambidextrous, meaning that you actually get buttons on both sides. So yep. Here's the main buttons, but you actually get buttons on the other side as well. So if you are like a truly left hand or right hand, you do get the side buttons on both sides of the mouse, which is really nice. And one thing I actually liked about these buttons, you actually get an extra set of buttons for each side of the mouse. But the ones that are on the right side here, they sit flush with the frame of the mouse, so you don't accidentally press them, which I really, really like. And then the ones on this side, they have a little, it's hard to see in this picture, but there's like a little groove, or they like kind of angle in, so you can actually put your thumb right in the middle here, and you won't press them either. It's actually a really nice design of this mouse. So 89 grams. It uses the same sensor. So it's a 26K optical sensor. They're calling it their Marksman sensor. It is made by PixArt. I think it's based on the 3399 from PixArt, which is a really good optical sensor. 26K, like I said, and you can obviously configure that in one DPI increment. So you can tune it, you know, however you like, which is really, really nice. It comes with, of course, a 2.4 gigahertz dongle, which has a place in the mouse itself. That allows you to, of course, use 2.4 gigahertz. It also works as Bluetooth. So if maybe you really, really like this mouse, you wanted to take it to work. Obviously, you don't need 2.4 gigahertz at work unless you're doing some gaming at work. So you can take the mouse to work, use it via Bluetooth, you know. And then when you're back home, you have the 2.4 gigahertz, so you're good to go. Very easy to connect. It does come with a nice braided cable. Of course, you know, you're not using this wired, so it's just like a normal braided cable. But I do like that it's white. It allows you to charge the mouse as well. One thing that wasn't included with this is, like, typically you get the little extender that has and the reason not a lot of people know this is that any USB 3.0 port or higher, like, it, they have noise, and that will actually affect your wireless mouse, especially with all the amount of data that's being the 2.4 gigahertz connection. So that's why, like, most of these gaming mice, they typically have that little adapter that takes that USB connection and moves it away from the motherboard, because you get the noise from the motherboard. You don't have that with this. So that was one thing I was slightly disappointed. But overall, the mouse is very comfortable. Two main buttons here. These are optical switches as well. So if you're not familiar with an optical switch, basically there's a laser. When you press it down, you know, it goes through the laser, and it's more accurate than a mechanical switch. You don't have debounce or anything like that. It, you know, we've talked about that when it comes to optical switches within keyboards. It's very much the same there. So very comfortable. I liked it quite a lot. I have the white version. It comes in black as well. And you get RGB lighting, because, of course, you know, you need your RGB lighting for your gaming mouse. Of course, the M75 Air didn't have RGB lighting, because that would make it heavier. You do get, you know, some RGB lighting, which you can see right here. And of course, this works with IQ, so it plugs right into IQ. You can reprogram every button except for the main button. Everything can be reprogrammed. Very easy to do. I really like the mouse. I was just a little bit disappointed that you couldn't, like I said, that it didn't have the extender, because I think that's really important, especially for 2.4 gigahertz. But overall, I really liked it. $129.99, like I said, available in both white and black versions. I really like it. I think it's a good mixture of functionality and weight at the same time, right? You're getting really good battery life. You're getting five programmable buttons. Still at 89 grams, you're not over 100 grams. It's a good wireless mouse. And, you know, you've been using ultralight gaming mouse for a while, so have I. But, like, when I was using this, like, 89 grams felt really good. Like, it
really,
yeah, because I mean, I've had like really heavy mice before, and you know, but like 89 grams felt good. It was like a good mixture, which I really liked.
I have a real heavy mouse at work, and it just like I sit down and I'm like, oh, it's just chained me down. I can't do anything here.
But yeah, like I play games like we played Apex. I played Apex with this. It felt really good. I liked it. So if you're looking for, you know, you don't want to go the super ultra lightweight route, maybe, but you want and you need a lot like this, you know, the ultra light mice are typically made for FPS just because you don't have a ton of buttons. You typically get your two main buttons and maybe side buttons. Some of them don't even have the side buttons just because they want it to be as light as possible. This, you get, you know, two buttons on one side, two buttons on the other side, plus the two main buttons, plus a scroll wheel. And of course, you can press that scroll wheel in. So five programmable buttons, which means you can probably use this for a lot of other types of games as well, not just FPS, which I like too.
So. With those right side buttons being like a little recessed, do you like, could you still access them with like your ring or pinky finger using
it right-handed? Yeah, you can. Yeah.
It's just a little more.
I think they do that by default because I would say, I mean, what would you say the percentages of people that are actually using their left hand, like a left hand, like it's probably.
I'm left-handed and I don't.
I'm left-handed, but I use the right-hand mouse. So, but what's nice is that they do include extra side buttons. So if you were truly a left-handed mouse person, you could make them thicker. So I really like that about that as well. So yeah, check it out. Check out the review. Of course, we have everything linked. I can't believe I forgot. I think I forgot about it because it launched on Thursday of last week. It was like
the day after.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's why I forgot about it. So, but now we'll talk about the Crucial P5 Plus, the Heatsink Edition. So this is their Gen 4 NVMe SSD. Now, this actually came out all the way, like the actual first draft, like their first P5 Plus, which was actually Crucial's first Gen 4 NVMe drive. This actually came out all the way back in 2021. So it's not necessarily a new drive. The new thing is the heatsink. Why do we need a heatsink? Most of our motherboards do have heatsinks. It's because mainly because of PlayStation 5. So everybody is, of course, putting, you know, NVMe SSDs in their PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 doesn't have an integrated heatsink or anything like that for these drives. So if you want to use a drive in there, it has to be a heatsink drive. So now we have a heatsink drive. But there are a good bit of mid-range to lower-end motherboards that don't have heatsinks, or maybe the top one will have a heatsink, but then the bottom two won't have heatsinks. So this is a good option for that as well. This drive is rated for 6,600 megabytes a second read and 5,000 megabytes a second write. So again, not the fastest Gen 4 drive, but still very solid speeds, especially if you're coming from a 2.5-inch SSD. Amazing if you're coming from a 3.5-inch hard drive, which this would be a very nice upgrade for you as well. But that just equals, you know, a faster drive means that, one, Windows is going to load faster. I remember going from the hard drive, the 3.5-inch hard drive, to the 2.5-inch SSD, and just the how fast Windows would load, right? So you're going to get faster load times in Windows, but also faster load times in your games, which is, I remember, I was like Battlefield 5, and I was running that. I think I was running that off a 2.5-inch drive, but then I did everything to NVMe, and just like when that would load so much faster, it just saves you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so much time. So, you know, decently fast drive. Again, not the fastest out there. The actual heatsink itself is pretty low profile as well. It's not necessarily like the biggest, which means that if you are installing this on a motherboard, it won't interfere with your graphics card or anything like that. So you don't have to worry about that. Pretty low profile. You can take it apart if you really wanted to. I wouldn't suggest it. There were no void warranty stickers on the heatsink part of it. Not sure. Don't take my word for that. But no issues, no overheating issues. When we ran the original drive, we ran it without a heatsink to test, and it did thermally throttle. You needed that drive in a heatsink. So this heatsink does a good job in all of our testing. And if you look how this kind of stacks up, it's pretty mid-range when it comes to Gen 4 drives. It sits very much in that mid-range, you know, when it comes to speeds. Because again, we're kind of reaching, I think the fastest is like 7,400 megabytes a second for Gen 4. That's like kind of like the fastest that you're going to get. A lot of the new drives that are coming out are going to be around 7,000, something like that. So very much mid-range when it comes to this drive as far as performance. But again, it's a very solid drive. It will work in PlayStation 5. And I thought, you know, it's kind of, you know, sits in the middle. It's, you know, it has the heatsink. I thought it would be, and it's Crucial. Crucial's making all the parts in this I didn't mention. So they make the NAND, they make the cache chip, they make the controller, they make everything. So they control everything, which is a good thing, I thought. So they could be very aggressive on their pricing, right?
Right.
They are not very aggressive on their pricing. So we reviewed the 2 terabyte version. 2 terabyte version, I'll check it again on Amazon here. But yeah, it's $187.57, which is expensive for a 2 terabyte. And the reason I say that is $187.57 for 2 terabyte, again, 6,600 megabytes a second read. But if you look at the Lexar NM790, the heatsink version, it's $149 for the 2 terabyte. And that drive is $7,400.
Faster. Yeah.
Yeah. And 6,500. So also there's the MSI Spadium M480 Pro Play, which is also 7,400 megabytes a second read and 7,000 megabytes a second write with the heatsink.
For $129.
And it's $129. So they need to be more aggressive with their pricing. This should be $129. And again, I think that they're not dependent on buying controllers from anybody. Like, right, they're making all the products, so they can be, at least in my opinion, they can be aggressive. So if this was even $139, I'd be okay with it. But $187 is definitely expensive for what you're getting. So that's, I gave it an 8 out of 10, just because, again, it is expensive. At least the current pricing is expensive for it. And again, there are faster drives out there that are lower cost that do have the heatsink as well. So I have everything linked, of course, in the review, so you can see, you know, you can see that. So yeah, so these are reviews for the week. What did Corey ask? It's compatible with DDR4.
Yeah, it's, you can use it in a system with DDR4. Sure.
Oh,
they're separate from each other. Like, they're not related.
Yeah.
Directly related.
Yeah. You just need, I mean, they're all backwards compatible. So you could put a Gen 4 and a Gen 3 slot.
You're just not going to get the fast.
You're just not going to get the speeds. So as long as you have an M.2 slot, you should be good there. I said last week, I would announce a giveaway. We have a new giveaway on the site. So if you guys haven't got in on this, we're giving away the Lowfree Touch PBT wireless mouse, which you can see here. This is actually a really cool mouse. I reviewed it. It is made of PBT, the same type of material that you see on like PBT keycaps on a keyboard. And the buttons are like keyboard style buttons. It's really cool and unique. And it has a little OLED screen that shows your DPI and all that kind of stuff. And I'm throwing in the special edition keycaps that they sent to. I'll throw those in there as well. So really easy to enter this, just like all of our contests. We have the link. It's in the show notes. It's on the page. If you go to the website, just go to contest at the top, and then it'll be the first post. But yeah, really easy to enter. And like I said, we'll be rolling through giveaways as can you believe it's March already?
I know, it's wild.
Yeah, as we go through the year, we'll be rolling through giveaways. So we'll have a lot of different stuff to give away, which I'm definitely excited for. So this is running for another week, 11 days. So like almost another week. So yeah, get your entries in, and hopefully somebody gets that. So. And for our last giveaway, I emailed the winner and they haven't emailed me back yet. So I'm going to email them again, but we'll have to pick a different winner. That's always the worst when you know, and then they'll email you like 6 months later and I'll be like, well,
it's a little late now.
Yeah. So
it's funny. I did a giveaway this last weekend and the winner is in my city. Hmm. It's just kind of funny.
That's convenient, I guess.
It is convenient. I don't have to pay to ship it and like yeah. content out of it.
So. I didn't realize shipping was like super expensive. Like the guy who won the 4070
yeah, over the holidays. Got a decent sized box.
Yeah. So that well, was like
$15 probably.
Oh no. It was like $35.
You couldn't put that in a like a
no, a prepaid? No, it wouldn't fit.
No.
It was yeah, because I tried to put it in a prepaid because the prepaid's like $18.95 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll fit in here. But I wanted to give him the box. I wasn't, if I didn't put it in the
yeah,
box.
But
yeah. Sure. Yeah. So it was, yeah, it was shipping was expensive on that. But yeah, we'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a build or mod.
This one's interesting.
This one is pretty cool. This is that we've featured these guys before from Modding Cafe. This one is called Auris Gear Up, obviously made for Gigabyte or Auris to kind of show off. And this is kind of what it looks like. It's pretty cool. This section obviously opens up, and then you have the graphics card, and you know the. It's kind of interesting. It's called Auris Up, but this is a that's the what's it called card?
Yeah, it's the Asus card.
Isn't it? It's the Asus card in there. But yeah, so you have your graphics card, you have your motherboard here, and it's sitting on this sort of like. Display thing, but in this display thing are the radiators, and they have the water cooling somehow. Like there's a thing, yeah, they have it coming down here on the sides as we scroll through this,
because I think the mother like the tray that the motherboard is sitting on is a distro plate, if I'm not mistaken. And that's an interesting way like spot to use those fans because they're so hidden, but it's still kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So those are the new Li and Li fans.
Yep.
That's what it looks like. And again, this piece, and you can see this is the Auris board that has the LCD on it. I like how they kind of hacked this card, the Asus card.
Yeah, it is interesting that they put that in this build, but
yeah.
It looks cool.
I think because it makes it like goes really well with this build.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's what it looks like closed. Yeah, these guys do some really, really cool builds that they like. They've custom made everything. You know what I mean? You know, that's what it looks like closed. But this is all custom made.
This thing way too. I mean,
yeah,
it's gotta be heavy.
Yeah, they have some really, really cool builds in here. So, yeah. It's a showpiece. It's not necessarily like a more standard case mod, but that I definitely wanted to show it off because they have done some like really we've covered some of their ones that they've done before, and they're just like completely like just out of this world. I feel, you know what I mean.
That's one thing that we missed this year. Like at CES, was there weren't that many custom builds or just like flagship builds. You know,
there were a handful, but
in years past, like we did whole galleries of art, you know, gallery articles based on all of them, but it's kind of sad.
Yeah. I don't know what, maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, we saw some, there's some at Thermal Take.
A few.
Yeah. But like even then there was like two or three at Thermal Take when like years past there was like 10 or 15.
Sure.
So yeah, kind of, you know, hopefully, like I said, it comes back because it's always great to see these guys build stuff for shows, and then you get to see it in person. So it's always great to like, because we cover these every week, we cover builds every week. It's always awesome to see a build that you covered and then go to a CES or some other convention and see it in person, and you're like, oh wow, like this is, you know, because it's always great to see these in person, you know, not just talk about them. So so that is a Case Mod Friday. We'll move on to news this week. So Asus announced a new BTF white RTX 4070 Ti Super. So BTF, if you guys aren't familiar, that's the one that has no power connector. All the power goes through the motherboard here. And of course, you know, you can match it with their Z790 Tough Gaming BTF board. You know, here's the connector right here. I have seen some builds with these. It is clean. It is super, super clean. Would you get a setup like this?
Not yet. I don't know. I'm not sold on it just yet.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think, I mean,
I don't know if there's any like major downside. to putting the stuff on the back, right? It is cleaner. I don't know.
It's cleaner, but I always like I you know, as computers and things have gone on, it, you know, the custom sleeve cables were always just like such a nice thing to see, and it does add something extra to a build.
Personalize it, sure.
Yeah, so like you kind of lose out on that.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, I guess if we cared about like, oh, I don't want to see anything, we just wouldn't put windows on our cases and be done with it, right? So
yeah, but it does make it cleaner. We saw some of these builds at CES, and we always talked about this connector. Like, this is a 4070 Ti, so I mean, and it's a super, so it's, you know, there's a lot of power coming through this single connector on the board. Somebody did an expose on, I forget who, because I saw it on Twitter about this connector, and they talked to, like, they went into specifics on it. There's a lot of information. I'll try to link it if I can find it eventually, because I didn't get to fully read it, but it was really interesting talking about how they engineered the actual connector. Might be something, you know, cool to see. In the chat says cool, but the opposite of functional.
I think,
yeah, it said made for dual chamber cases, also the way motherboards should have been made. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny how things change over time. Like, we see stuff and they're like, why didn't we think of that initially? You know, just like the whole, even like you're talking about dual chamber cases, like, why weren't we building cases, as I'm pointing to like my O11 dynamic, like, why aren't we building cases to show off our builds anyways? You know, or like, why for the longest time? Because there were, you know, even like the way back cases, we put windows in those and we did all of that, right?
Yeah.
But why were we stuck on the design with the power supply at the bottom? You know, why were we stuck on that design for so long? Like, you know, and then the dual chamber came out, right? But none of them had the side mount cooling. Like, why did it take so long for them to figure out that they could put fans in the side and bring air in from the side? Like,
well, I mean, I think there was still like that area was used for optical drives and
yes, very true. Yeah.
And then away from optical drives, but still 3.5.
And I think that was one of the biggest things that, like, you know, after optical drives kind of stopped being used, especially by enthusiasts, we started to see the glass front panels, you know, but then none of those were like very efficient, but they look cool. You know, so yeah, it is cool kind of to see the evolution. And Ryan and I had talked about this on multiple podcasts that, you know, this might just be the new standard, like this beat the BTF and Project Zero, you know, from MSI. We'll probably see one from Gigabyte and some of the other ones, you know, in 5 years, this could be the standard. Like, you won't see motherboards with connectors on the front anymore. And again, all these new cases are being designed specifically already with the cutouts for it. It's, and you know, it's, again, initially it's going to be an enthusiast thing, you know, mainly being pushed by the motherboard manufacturers, but I mean, it could be the standard going forward. So it kind of makes sense. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Talking about graphics cards. Price drops, and we talked about this last week. I said, because there's no more new graphics cards coming out, at least till probably 2025, we're gonna have price wars. We're gonna have price wars all throughout the year and coming, you know, especially as we get into holiday season. So Nvidia has dropped some prices. You can pick up the RTX 4060 Ti 16 gig for $430, and you can get the 8 gig for as low as $346. So price drops, I'm all for it. I mean, there's not really not much else to say about this, but it's just good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I love seeing the price go down. I think you know, we're at a point where supply isn't an issue, right? So they can actually do price drops, right? If we were still having supply issues, like, there's no way we'd see prices increasing, if anything. So,
and it has a lot to do with too, like, AMD being pretty aggressive on price anyways, and it's, you know.
Because
we kind of have like two series of cards, because these are the 4060 Ti's, you know, like, you're not getting a super for that, you know, segment of card. So, you know, it, like, the newer launches from AMD kind of impact what's going on there. So they have to kind of compete with price. So it's, yeah, I like it. I think especially as we get into holiday season, you'll see even more good price drops, things, yeah. You know, and as the leaks, as we get more and more leaks for RTX 5000 series and what AMD is going to do next and all of that stuff, I think prices will continue to go down over the year. So like we've said this for a while, but it is a very, very good time to build a PC too. There's availability of pretty much everything. I just saw a price drop that the 7800.
Yeah, I saw something.
X3D is like, or something is like really, it's on sale now. So you have availability of everything. You have good pricing on everything. NAND is really cheap as well. So SSDs and memory are really cheap right now too. So it's like the perfect time to really build a new PC. Or like if you're thinking about upgrading, it's a really great time too. Because you won't see like crazy discounts up until what, like Prime Day and
yeah,
all of that. Black Friday, which is, yeah, it's like more towards the summer and then getting into holidays. So great time to build a PC if you were thinking about doing it. Now this next story I had to put on here to see what Ryan thought about it, because he's our water cooling guy. This is a mini PC. It's called the Tecno Mega Mini Gaming G1, the world's first compact water cooling gaming PC featuring a dedicated graphics card. So this is it right here.
Cool.
And there's the water cooling, which looks odd.
Very small diameter tubing, yeah.
Yeah, and just the way it's set up. But yeah, it got all, like everybody was talking about it. It was at some show. I forget what show it was at.
MWC?
Yeah, Mobile World Congress.
All right, yeah.
Actually, this Tecno, they had some interesting... Yes. See these glasses? They have these like mixed AR glasses that they were showing too. I saw an article on that.
Slash gear.
Yeah, so kind of interesting little system.
That fan's orientation looks a little... I'm sure it's just supposed to be front mount. It just, maybe it's the angle. It makes it look like it's crooked or in there weird.
Yeah, I think it's just the angle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see other angles of it, but yeah, it's interesting. I was like it reminds me of early water cooling kits. Like I had some early Thermaltake and like a I don't remember the brand, but I mean I had one that, you know, like fit in the 5 1/4 inch bay. They had the tubes coming out the back, and it was, you know, that's what it reminds me of there, is the size of that tubing from the really early kits.
Yeah, yeah. In the chat, Pseudoscientist said the 5090, which of course is going to be the RTX 5000 series or 50 series, so they'd be 50 to 70% faster, will cost 50 to 70% more. Yeah, you see all these leaks in supposed things. It's hard to kind of tell, you know, because if you think that top-end chip, I mean, even now, the 4090 is still so much better performing compared to everything else.
Yep.
Right.
Well, and I think part of it depends on like, is that like pure performance, or is that like DLSS4, right? Or, you know, like,
yeah,
you got to take those things into consideration as well.
Yeah. So it will definitely be fast, because we were kind of blown away by the 4090, just like how much of a beast it was. Obviously, it's expensive. 5090 is going to be expensive, because if you think, you know, your top end chip is $1,600. Well, are you gonna be able to say, okay, here's our next end chip, it's the same, it's $1,600,
right?
But it's 50% faster,
right?
You know,
you better have all those 4090s sold,
because yeah,
or
yeah,
you'd be ready to,
or like, hey, I mean, you know, if they're making all this money with AI, just, you know, we'll take a loss on these
exactly
5090s.
Exactly.
You know, so we'll see if that actually happens. So yeah, talking about something also that we just had to talk about. So your router, what router are you using?
I use a Ubiquiti, okay. Dream Machine Pro. Yeah.
Okay. Well, somebody took their TP-Link router.
Oh boy.
And they hacked it, and they somehow
running more than a tomato router or whatever, you know.
Yeah, they hacked it, so that they could connect. They used the CPU from the router, and they hacked the router to somehow connect to an external GPU, which is this little card here, to run GTA Vice City on it. So this router is TP-Link router that came out in 2013. It features the PowerPC E500 V2 32-bit processor. And they were able to run OpenWRT. Let's see. Yeah, and they were able to install this mini PCIe breakout onto it, yep, and get it to essentially run GTA Vice City.
There's their video out, right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's so funny that all these like products exist too, like these little adapter boards for
whatever. Yeah,
like, yeah,
but that's the setup. How crazy is that?
It's pretty ingenious. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's funny.
But like what makes you think I got this old router, I'm gonna hack it to play
and the compatibility.
I mean, obviously, like, we're talking about it, and they made a YouTube video, so we have the YouTube video. It's in the article if you guys want to check it out.
But does it run well?
I love seeing stuff like this. Let's see.
It's neat. Yeah, I mean, they probably just realized that, hey, this machine has the hardware that'll do it. That's kind of cool. Okay, you know what?
It looks like it's running.
Yeah,
it's
definitely a low frame rate, but
yeah, it looks like a Sega Dreamcast almost.
Sure.
Yeah, but still it's impressive. Cool. Yeah, still cool. I think it's really cool. So yeah, that was our interesting story of the week, I'd say, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Intel Core i9-14900KS. We've talked about that. If you guys don't know. Obviously, it's not the 14900K that's already out. It's the KS, which is the special edition, which will boost up to 6.2 gigahertz, will be the highest binned Intel 14th gen processor. We talked about why isn't it out yet. We thought we would see it at CES back in January. We didn't see it. We have some pictures of it. Some people apparently have it because obviously the box will say special edition. So, this appears to be it. It did show up a couple other places as well. I think that I just don't see, like, there's not a lot of excitement behind this. I get it. Like, it is going to be the highest bin, and you'll see, YouTubers and overclockers using it. But, like, for the average person, it's going to be more expensive. It's got you got to put at least a 360 AIO on this.
Oh, for sure. If not a full custom loop.
Yeah. It's supposedly to go on sale around mid-March. I just saw something on Twitter right before we started the podcast that said it's going to come out March 14th. I did just see that. If you were building a new system, you had unlimited funds, would you pick this up over a 14900KS or like?
You mean over just a standard 14900K?
Yeah, 14900K.
I don't know. Probably not, because like the difference you're going to see from one to the other, I don't think it's going to make enough difference to like justify the extra heat and like cooling you're going to need for this thing.
Yeah. I mean, you probably do need like a 420. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah. No, I don't think I would. I think, you pair this thing up with a 4090 and you will probably see a difference, but it's not going to be like justifiable enough, especially if you're running like a variable refresh rate monitor, like, and you just want to sit there at 240 hertz or something, like anything over that you don't care about. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that everybody's just like, okay, well, we're pretty far into like the 14th gen life cycle too, like typically the special edition like should come out you know, it just seems like a while
sooner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get to 15th gen and you're like, maybe your i7 is like just as fast as this thing now.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, well, like I said, it's supposed to come out the 14th. We'll you know, I'm sure we'll see some reviews and stuff like that. Something else we saw at CES was the MSI Claw. Ryan got to play on it for a little bit. Will be available March 8th in the US. This is
Friday.
All Intel based. Yes, it's on Friday, a couple of days. All Intel based. $749 for the 512 gig version, 120 hertz screen on it. It felt really good in my hand. We talk about this every time we talk about these gaming handhelds. It's like, I'd love to have one, but like, I just wouldn't use it.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and that's how I am with that little Miu, whatever it is, this little, you know, handheld emulator. Like, I got it, and I haven't really done anything with it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So spending $750 on one would not be in my best interest. I'm not the target audience.
But it is so good to see all these come out. And we talked about this, like, oh, you know, we talked about this, like, the Steam Deck had been out for a while. But then you saw, like, Asus, like, this big name, come out with one, you know. And now we're seeing, like, literally everybody come out with one. Lenovo has one, too. Obviously, we have this MSI one. And I always just think the more competition, the better, because it's going to be better for the consumer. They're going to fight for price, you know, in that market share and everything like that. So I like it. And, you know, the more devices there are out there, it enables the game developers to say, hey, this market's good enough. I'm going to optimize my game for these type of devices, too. Yeah. Or for like the specific processors that are being used, like the AMD processors and the Core Ultra processors. Like, we're going to optimize our game for these because we know there's going to be a bunch of ROG Ally users, or there's going to be a bunch of MSI Claw users. So yeah, cool to see. And like,
there's some good accessories.
Yeah.
I guess some of them are add-ons.
Yeah, some of them are sold separately, but cool to see all that stuff. I love seeing like cool tech that like I wouldn't use, but it's just cool. Like I still think, like, I mean, it's pretty powerful little machine, like in your hand.
Yeah, in your hands. Yeah,
you know,
decent battery, right? Like, I mean, it's not amazing, but it's still like, it's impressive for what it's doing.
Yeah, for what it's doing, it's cool. And like, it doesn't feel clunky like some other devices maybe like 5 years ago were. Like, it feels good,
like when like VR PC backpacks, remember that, where like, I know, yeah, Zotac was, you remember, like, really that, pushing that, you know, and you're like, nah, this is
well, that was that. The whole thing, it was like that was like a big thing for a while,
yeah,
you know, but it was just like, who's buying this,
right?
You know, this I can see people buying because it's a product that works, and it's like, you could just take it out of your pocket, and or kind of big to put in your pocket, but like, you can throw this in, like, you know, you have your backpack, you're going to work, you can just throw it in there, and then again on your commute or on your lunch break, or
I mean, it might fit in your pocket if you're wearing like JNCOs or something. Some old JNCOs.
Did you go through the phase of the JNCO phase?
My parents wouldn't like really let me. I did have like one or two pairs. Yes.
Yeah.
Not like the not the crazy ones. They were the more tame. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that, I know we have one more story this week. So, you remember we saw those dual mode monitors at CES, mm-hmm. You know, that will give you like 4K 240 or 1080p right. 480, and you can switch between them very easily.
Sure.
So LG is the panel that a lot of the companies are using. LG's specific monitor will be priced at $1,399, which I don't think is that bad of a deal. 32 inch monitor, 4K, but it can do 4K 240 or 1080p 480 hertz.
Wow.
You know, and I still didn't like, we still didn't really get to see a demo of like actually how that works. Like, do you just press a button and it just changes? Because, you know,
yeah, man, but $1,400 for 32 inch, like, that's, whew.
But I mean, you're getting, it's 4K 240 one. It's an OLED.
Impressive already, yeah.
It's an OLED.
Yeah.
you know, and it does, also does 1080p 480 hertz. So this is like a really good ideal monitor for somebody who's maybe a super fast paced, you know, FPS gamer, but at the same time they want something that they can do, you know, like a really beautiful game you want to play in 4K. Sure. Yep. That you can do that as well. And again, you're still gonna be able to do it at 4K 240. I mean, that's not necessarily like a slow frame rate.
No.
You know, so pretty cool. But yeah, it'll be $13.99. So not insanely expensive for that type of spec and like the ability to, I assume you just like press up, like, I don't know how it switches like that, but I assume it's not hard to do. So,
or if you just set your, yeah, your display resolution, right? You right click display settings and go from 4K to 1080 and it,
yeah, or just like does it or something.
There, maybe there's a software add-on that has to,
who yeah, knows? Or like that does it. Pseudoscientist in the chat said 4K and 240 is good enough by far. I mean, that's, yeah,
great for just about anybody, I think.
I know. So I've been looking at for you guys don't know, I have a 49 inch display. It's 49 inch, but it's 120 hertz. I've been like those that they all the 4K or the whatever it was, the Samsung 49 inch that was 240 hertz. I think that's
gonna look nice.
That's gonna be the next upgrade. But I might stack them, so have one way up here, so I have like just a bunch of windows.
That'd be cool.
249s. Yeah, who knows? That's obviously down the road. But I've just been looking at them. I'm like, this 120 hertz is getting a little slow these days. You know, so
for all that typing I'm doing.
Yeah, for all the productivity. I need 240 hertz for ultimate productivity.
Yeah. For all that photo editing.
Yeah, exactly. So that is it for our news this week. Coming up next week, I was an idiot last week and I said that we'll have a new case review. I didn't look at the embargo date on it, and I thought it was today.
It's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a case from a company that maybe I'm wearing their sweatshirt if you look closely. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, it's coming out tomorrow, so we'll have that review for you guys tomorrow. Also, we'll have a review, not only a written review, but we will have a review on our YouTube channel tomorrow as well, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then we also, I have a workstation laptop from Lenovo they sent over.
I saw that.
So this is their how do I close this?
How do I internet?
Yeah, no, I don't want, see, there's no X. Am I like blind? Decline. I hit decline offer. Okay.
All right.
They need to fix that. So this is their ThinkPad P14S Gen 4, 14 inch mobile workstation. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, I'm not so much on the workstation, we're more gaming, but I kind of wanted to see like, what is this all about? You know, it has a i7 1370p, which is their vPro processor. It also has an RTX A500.
Okay. 4 yeah. gig GPU, 64 yeah. gigs of memory.
Yeah, 64 gigs of DDR5. So we'll see what this thing could do. Maybe we'll throw some different tests at it. See what it could do. So we will have that for you next week. And I might have some other stuff. We have a lot of stuff into review. So we'll be, like I said, we'll be getting a lot of stuff to do. Let's just say that for sure. So Pseudoscientist said good stream. Well, if you're heading out, thanks for stopping by. We definitely appreciate it. And we won't see you next week, because we'll talk about, we're not having a podcast next week. But we'll move on to our question of the week. And I wanted to see this question because I was just like, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but the question of the week is, do you remember your first MP3 player?
I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to share my screen here. There we go. Share. It was the Rio Carbon.
I remember those.
So I bought this, like, I mean, yeah, it, let's see here. 2004, 2005. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, this is the what I had, like this little, I think it was a 5 gig spinning hard drive in there. And it was okay. But Yeah, I just never used it a ton. I wasn't a person that was listening to like music on headphones very often, right? I used it in my car, like with a tape adapter, I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, maybe actually no. 2004, I wouldn't have had that. I would have had a standard like 3.5 input, like your aux jack, right? On the front of like an aftermarket stereo. That's what I used it with. Because it was before CD players in cars would play MP3s, I think, or maybe it was, you know, mine just didn't have that. So yeah, I had this, but yeah, it had a spinning hard drive in it. So it was not really like that useful as far as dropping it or being, you know, safe from vibrations.
I just found one of the MP3 players I had. So the first one I bought, I think it was like $80, and I was in high school at the time, and I was, you know, you take the bus and you'd have your Discman, your Sony Discman, which was your CDs. And again, if you remember, CDs were what, like 30, even if you were burning CDs at the time, they weren't, it was like what, 30 tracks you could fit on there.
At the most, I feel like 18 or something.
Yeah, or something like that. So you were only limited to, and you know, you had your books of CDs, right?
Yeah.
And I remember getting my first, I forget the brand of it, but I remember getting it and I was like, I forget how many, it might not even have been a full gig, I don't remember, but it was like I could fit like 70 some songs on it, and I was like, this is amazing. You know, I have so much. You know, and it was small too, it wasn't necessarily large, and it was just, it was so cool. It was like, yeah, it was just something so different, because you went from one medium that was limited to, you know, and then the CDs try to, the Discmans try to compete because they made them be able to read MP3s. You remember that?
Yeah. Yep. And you could just have your burned CDs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but they're still kind of slow. Like you had to go through like a menu, you know, like either sequentially, like track to track to track to track to track, like
a
normal CD, or if you could like scroll through a menu, but like using a menu and folder structure on a like portable CD player is just like not, it's no.
Yeah. So that like, yeah, it was just so cool to be like, you could just easily go through your tracks and you could see the track name on like the little display it had. Like MP3 players were like just super cool in the beginning. But then I had got this really big one. It was like it was clunky. It had like a physical hard drive in it. And this is sort of like the version of this, like this one that's on eBay. Actually, the black one is the one that I had. This one. Let's see. I had this thing, the Archos jukebox.
Oh, put it back up.
Oh, here we go. So this was the Archos jukebox. And I had this in. I think the one that I had was 10 gig. This one's 20 gig, but it was like a physical spinner hard drive in there. But it
looks like a 3.5-inch drive with a case around it.
That's basically what it was. Oh, it was this big thing. And I'm sure you could open it and pull the drive probably. Yeah.
The drive on mine, like I thought, oh, maybe I can do something with this drive, but apparently it was like had its own proprietary connector.
Yeah.
Rio Carbon.
But yeah, those were the days, man. Those were the days. It was just like, but isn't it so cool, like to think about, like, you know, because I had this, and then I eventually caved in and got the iPod. And the iPod was incredibly just like such a small little device too. And yeah, it was. Yeah, I had an iPod up until I got an iPhone. I mean, I had a bunch of different iPods, so. So yeah, pretty cool. Isn't it crazy that like MP3s aren't like a thing anymore too?
Kind of. Yeah.
Like
everything streams
now. I remember when you had to buy a song for 99 cents and then the whole CD was $9.99.
Yep.
But
again, it goes back to, I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago, like what is the cost to restream that? Say, you know, you've got your favorite MP3 that or music file that you or song or whatever you like to listen to on Spotify. Like, what is the cost to send me that data every day? Right? Like the energy it takes to run all the switches and all of that. Like, I don't know. We've got, and we have so much capacity. Like I've got terabytes and terabytes
but
of space.
But the thing you have to think about is that, you know, that switch and all the connectivity is not just.
No, it's not. It's not just stream, doing that. No,
you know, so.
But like, I feel like we can do something where it's like, all right, you play it the first time and it downloads the full track. And then if you want to play it again, it recognizes that you've got a license, you know, and you've already downloaded it. Just play it local.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the way they do things, the way everything's set up is kind of...
I'm sure there's a reason.
Yeah. Pseudoscientist in the chat said the iPod was a game changer. I love my iPods. And then I got the iPod. What was the one with the, like, you could play videos?
The Shuffle? No, Nano?
I had a Nano, too. Thermaltake gave me a Nano. I might still have it. It had Think Computers engraved on it. They gave it to me at CES like a long time ago.
Yeah, it was the Nano with the little screen, right?
Yeah. That was so cool. I was like, oh man, this is like so cool. And like, yeah.
I have a seventh gen Nano, nice. I believe it is. And then I had one of the like really small ones. It was like, it had a little clip on it. I mean, it was like just a little square.
Oh, that wasn't the Nano, the small one?
Yeah, it might have been.
Because that's the one. That's the one that Thermaltake gave me. It had a name and said Think Computers on.
Oh yeah, iPod Nano, just the small clip one. But then there was also the Nano with the screen.
Yeah.
Later on, yeah.
Pseudoscientist says I like having music, etc. on my device. I'll pay extra. That's the worst. So if you're like, if you forget to like download a podcast locally or whatever, or your songs locally,
and then you're
getting on your flight and you're like, wait, I don't have any music, I don't know if I can get Wi-Fi, like I don't want to pay for the Wi-Fi on the flight, you're just like, you know. But typically, like even now though, like they'll still give you like streaming for free or whatever on the plane typically, you know, for like audio streaming and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember sometimes like I just forgot, you know, and then I have a layover and I'd be at the layover, like trying to download stuff really quick. Those are the days. Now everything's so easy. It's all at your fingertips. You can get it whenever, you know, even in-flight Wi-Fi is not exact. It's not amazing, but it's better.
It's not terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like the early days in-flight Wi-Fi was not good. It was not good at all.
I didn't pay for it this last CES trip. I just streamed the local TV stuff that was available.
It is
and nice some too. Of the live, because there was football games on. So like
it's really nice too on the flights now that you do get like you have access to a full, you know, you like log in on your phone and like you have access to
movies,
maybe like TV 30 shows. Movies or something like that, which is great.
Yeah.
So yeah, time, like I said, times change. It's gotten better. Some say it has got worse, but I think when it comes to media, the streaming, I was never a fan of physical media, like just having to go and buy everything. And then, you know,
I still have like all my CDs.
And... Yeah. You had spindles of all your burn CDs and everything else and all that stuff. Yeah. But before we get out of here, of course, we talk about anything tech related. I actually do have something that I did sort of tech related. Over here, I set up my second test bench. So I posted it on social, but yeah, second test bench.
What was the reason for setting up a second one?
So I initially had two. Okay. One was AMD, one was Intel, one was for testing AMD motherboards, one's for testing Intel motherboards. But then I was just doing like one at a time. But now we have so much stuff in. One is graphics card test bench. I have like four graphics cards that I need to test. You know, and I don't want to have to break it down every time to test. And then the other one's just for like general testing. So we have some motherboards that we'll be testing on it. But on top of that, like testing SSDs and memory. So I needed to make use of the second test bench that I had that I wasn't using. So we put like that new Seasonic Vertex 1200 watt power supply on there. It's running the 4070 Ti Super now. The other one's running the 48. Well, it's testing graphics cards, but when it's not, it's running the 4080 Super from Asus, the ROG one. So yeah, lots of stuff going on, lots of testing going on over here. So that's sort of my my tech related thing. I don't think I did anything else or watched anything else. Yeah, no. just working on reviews over here. So
Well, I picked up the
I was kind of surprised you picked this up because you had talked about this and I was like, he's not gonna get it.
Yeah, I snagged the Insta360 X3 360 nice. Degree camera. Yeah, so yeah, I'm going on a ski and snowboard trip this next week, so I've got a DJI Osmo Action like first gen, which is still a great camera. Like
it's a great camera.
It's still awesome. Yeah. But I've been watching this guy that's like in the area that I'm going to. He's a snowboarder. He's got like 280,000 followers or something. Oh, nice. You know, but he's just like this down to earth guy, like really friendly. And he's actually sponsored by Insta360.
Oh, nice.
But he's, you know, in all his videos, he's got it. And he's got the, So I bought that, and I bought the the stick, right? They have that invisible stick technology where you got the camera out far away and you just can't see the stick, so it looks like somebody's following you or leading you.
Yeah,
so it just looks really awesome.
I've always wanted a 360 camera,
yeah,
but I just couldn't justify it.
Well, and I want to do for my comic channel a room tour, so I'm gonna put this thing on a tripod in the middle of the room. And then just like I can walk around the room.
I'd be kind of interested to see how that comes.
We'll see how it looks. It may not go well. Who knows? But you could do all that like editing in post because it records everything, and then you can.
And
like,
what's really nice,
follow and zoom.
What's,
and all
what's
sorts
of... really really nice compared to like the first and second gen of the cameras, mm-hmm. The software now that you what do you call it when you crop it? It's like. I don't know, but like they have like a button that's like auto, and it would just like auto crop like how you want it and stuff compared to like the first gen, you had to do it all like not frame by frame, but the editing took a very long time.
Yeah.
Now the newer generation of these it makes the post process so much easier from what I've seen. Right. Pseudoscientist asked for Ryan's channel link.
Yeah, I just put it out there.
Yeah, it's collecting casually. Yes, it's up there on the screen. That's Ryan's really big into comics. As you can see, his room is full of comics, and he has a full comic channel. So guys, definitely check that out. I'm subscribed on all of our channels over there as well. And Ryan really likes his comics. I'm not so big in the comics, but he has a bunch of stuff. And one of his most popular videos was I watched the whole thing, which is like if you. Think about YouTube. Like, how many YouTube videos have you like watched the entire thing?
Sure.
He had one where he bought a storage unit. He was like Storage Wars guy, and he bought it because he saw comics, and it was about, you know, he saw these boxes of comics in the back, you know, in a storage unit. You can't go in
right
before you buy it. You just kind of see it, and he saw them back there. He's like, okay, I'll see what I get, and it was about him going over the comics that he found in the storage unit. Really interesting. I said, I watched the whole thing, so that tells you.
Oh, it may not let me. That link may not show up for you.
Oh, here, I'll put it on the screen, pseudoscientist, so you can see. Yeah. It's just collecting casually. Just put that in. You know, I don't know if it will let him. Wait, can I? Hold on, let me just put it in. Let's see. Oh wait, collecting casually. Here we go.
That's my other one.
We'll put that in on the YouTube. It should let me post it, I believe.
There it is. Yeah, that did
link. Yeah. Yeah, but that's Ryan's link. Check it out. But yeah, I'm really excited because we didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but Ryan bought that because he's going on a ski trip.
Yep. Yeah, and I bought like the wireless mic adapter. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing I've liked about it is the accessories are pretty affordable. Like the stick was $25 or $35. The mic adapter for it was 20, so I can hook up my Hollyland wireless mic with the adapter. Like, I've got all sorts of good options for creating some content out there. So excited to actually use that thing.
Nice. Well, yeah, I would hope that Ryan puts together a video of his skiing. I've never seen Ryan. Yeah. I've never seen Ryan be athletic.
Do anything athletic or
ever. So we'll see.
And what I couldn't believe is they like recommend a terabyte micro SD card for this thing. And I picked up a 512 gig.
I didn't find a terabyte,
but it's recording 360 high resolution, 60 frames per second. Yeah.
You're recording. It's a lot of data that you're recording. It is. So
and it gets hot quick. Like it warms up fast.
Well, you'll be in the snow. So
yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty interesting. Well, that's cool. Like I said, but the big thing is that we are not doing a podcast next week. So we typically, you guys know that we're here every Wednesday. Ryan's going on his ski, or are you skiing or snowboarding?
I'm snowboarding. Yeah.
Okay. He's going on a snowboarding trip next week. So we will not have a podcast. That will also give me time to get a lot more reviews done because we won't be doing the podcast on Wednesday. But the week after will be episode 400, which just sounds Woo-hoo. Crazy. Will be our 400th episode of the podcast. So really excited for that. So again, no podcast next week. The following week will be episode 400. And maybe we'll do a giveaway or something, you know, it's like that. So I'll be really, really excited for that. But we hope Ryan makes it off the mountain and doesn't injure himself snowboarding. But we aren't ending things here. The podcast is going to end, but we do have a gaming stream too. So that's going to be over on Twitch. So we do all of our gaming over on Twitch, and actually Ryan runs that stream. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and go over there, and Ryan will have that stream up once we end here. We're playing Apex Legends. Maybe when we get back, when Ryan gets back, maybe we'll get into the Helldivers too. Maybe.
Maybe.
I've been wanting to play it. I've been seeing so many videos of people playing it, so I've been wanting to play it. Yeah. So maybe we'll get into Helldivers whenever Ryan gets back from his trip. But again, remember, guys, no podcast next week. The following week, we'll see you for episode 400. And thanks, everybody, for coming out. Our new viewer this week was, of course, Pseudoscientist. Thanks for coming out. We had Corey in here as well and Jose in here in the live chat. So thank you, guys, and we will see everybody next week.